Hey, let's get it on.
For opening.
There, she's here somewhere. Yeah. She's with the kid.
Mm-hmm. We came back, left everyone up front.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what's better. Oh, that's good. Afterwards.
They'll be around somewhere. I'm not even sure where we're meeting them at.
Who? The family after?
Your family.
Well, my family is not even here. They were given
mine on as well?
Yeah, they were given a choice to either go to a birthday party for a four-year-old or to come watch their father do a live show. And they chose a four-year-old's birthday party. That's true. There is no bounce house here. Yet. How's the show so far?
I'll let you share.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I didn't bring a fancy $9 iPad case.
Oh, we're getting really up close now.
Oh,
wow.
Cool.
Great.
Yeah.
I have to like suck in this whole show, but
right.
Okay. I only have one chin, really. I did shave, though, for this. Harry's razors. It's a razor, Harry! Probably. Thank you. I can tell. So is there most people here from around here? Anyone travel really far?
An hour?
Yeah? Hey. How far? Wow. 2.5 hours is pretty far. How far away?
You're not awkward. No.
From Denmark?
Belmore.
Oh, Belmore. That's not that far.
5 hours.
We're being...
5 hours. That's far.
Do I need to record anything?
They've got it all over here.
Beautiful. Wombat doesn't need the mic, by the way.
10 minutes?
Anybody got a towel, perhaps? I got the farthest parking spot, farthest away parking spot possible. Then I got here, and then I realized I left my bag in the car, so I walked all the way back. This black shirt helped a lot, also.
We're just waiting for you.
No,
I guess we're technically... Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not 12:30.
Yeah.
We're early.
I'm early, man.
You guys get to listen to the pre-show show.
The paper copies.
Look, I printed out notes. This one's blank.
We're also going to be doing an after show.
Oh, you get...
Chris Hardwick is going to do that.
There you go. Yeah,
it's the same thing that's on here.
Oh, okay. I had no idea we had an outline.
Well, it's misleading because it's a lot of blank space on here, but we'll be good.
I'm going to put these back here.
Yeah. I like how you cross things out like this is a CIA document.
Redacted. The ads were redacted.
Redacted.
So we're waiting till 6 till
12:30, I guess.
Okay, good. I'll stop sweating by then.
Plenty of time.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? Good. Mrs. Shipwreck was looking at your Facebook post, your question for this, and she's like, some guy wrote the longest thing I've ever seen on your Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm on summer break.
I explained that you were a school teacher.
Yes.
That was pretty long. But for a teacher, that's probably pretty easy. Yeah.
Is Ty also on a birthday party?
Ty's here.
No, only my kids. Yeah. I'm the only person whose kids don't like.
I don't think you can have kids in this room. This is serious business here.
And lots of expletives.
Lots of what?
Expletives.
Think so?
I doubt it. I don't swear. There is, like, I see children in here already, so I'm like...
Yep, there he is.
Uh-huh. Earmuffs. You always know you're in for a fancy show when the chairs have tablecloths on them.
In a tree?
Yeah, I'm half in a tree.
I feel like we're supposed to be teaching a class.
I know. That's what it feels like in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Whew. Remember I said I was going to bring a towel later? We're going to the Mets game later. It's going to be a little hot. That's probably why we were able to get tickets so easily. I know. That's the one saving grace is keep telling ourselves, like, it's still cooler than Japan. And even the humidity is not as bad. Yeah. What's that? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you doing, like, jet or something?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So I have a lot of questions for you about that later.
I don't know anything about it.
Well,
but, oh, yeah, Mike knows. He lived it.
Right.
I'm already so sweaty.
I'm gonna try to
sweaty. No,
just go with the flow.
What are you looking at, my pits?
That's why you wear the black shirt.
Hey.
Yeah.
No pit stains.
We're recording this on camera too, Chiefy.
No. So, it's pointed right at my chest.
Just Shipwreck's chest. Right. Shipwreck's nipples will be in beautiful 1080p. It's great.
We have 5 minutes.
5 more minutes of the soccerness, huh?
Yep.
Pack them in.
Did you prepare the word jumble like at the movies? Otum Shanks.
They don't do that anymore.
No. Good work.
He's here, but he's not coming in this
room. Not in this room, yeah.
We'll check out the rest of the show.
Yeah.
It'd be distracting to
right. Have, my daughter would be in my lap if she was in this room.
Right.
She
should be
constantly.
might be tough.
Right.
Ooh, you heard that?
Is that your neck?
That was my neck. This will be the first time I've done a CADcast sitting down in a really long time.
This is going to be the first time I've done a CADcast looking at Shipwreck.
No, we've done one in the past.
We did?
I was sitting on the bed in your...
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
What was this?
When I went and visited
that
Wombat.
Night that Shipwreck and I just shared a bed together and then recorded a show that no one ever got to hear.
What? That went out. I think it did.
Maybe some towel in my bag, by some miracle, but there wasn't.
I think you're
some old ping pong towel.
There's a slide projector. Do you have any slides you want to show?
Right, I didn't know we could have a multimedia presentation.
Yeah, we could do graphs and charts.
Yeah.
Right here, only thermite can melt steel.
I don't even know where that's from. What is that from?
Like 4 people laughed at that joke. Those are my people.
You guys can take him with you, by the way.
My references aren't for you, they're for them.
This is 3 minutes,
guys.
Your imagination goes here. Between
all
these
the blank spaces.
Did you bring any theme music, like an opener? Any music?
No. I didn't know what the technical setup was going to be. I was told to just bring myself and maybe a laptop.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
That's right. You could do that.
Got to be something.
We had that in post-production, pretty much.
Generally speaking. I have no music on my phone, so I'm pretty useless.
Just sing.
Just sing.
Yell.
You already missing.
How sweaty is this area right now?
It's good. It's good.
Yeah, that one.
Ryan was freaking out when all of a sudden he saw you walking back out of the parking lot.
Oh, is that what he did? Where's he going? He thought I was like bailing.
Right.
Oh, God. It was hot. His black shirt was not a good idea for that parking lot.
Getting up on this mic is
going to
be a...
Yeah, you want to get that mic close.
That Fresh Beat Band on here, should I play that?
You can probably put it away.
Nothing bad.
I think we're good. I think cheaper than post. It's not fun.
It's more fun to play something.
Oh, go for it then.
No, don't play music because I'm gonna put music over it. No, don't put any music because I can't work with it later.
Then you have to go with what I play and you're stuck with it.
But it's not gonna sound right. I'm too anal.
It'll be bad.
You're gonna mess with me. Don't mess with my analosity.
No fun at all, Mr. GBD.
Coming back. Not looking at my nipples anymore.
Oh. Yeah.
You move forward.
All right, we're down to the wire.
This guy's got a blue shirt. He must be very important.
Are you the guy we complain to?
Yeah, water. It's not cold.
What's with the warm water? What's that about?
No, I was just guys.
Chibi needs. Do you have any Long Island retro gaming?
I'm not right now. I'm okay. I'll be bringing a towel to the Mets game later.
That, I'm sure that'll work.
Oh, don't worry about it. I like to pretend I'm too good for a shirt, so no, but I'm not.
I just want to make sure. Can mine say staff on the back?
You got a magic marker.
It's better for your throat.
I think where are we down? Like, what do we got?
I think
it's time. It's time. Right.
Oh, there it is.
Let me just test this out first. Testing 1, 2, 3. How is that in the back? You good in the back there? All right.
Yeah.
Not blowing anybody's brains out here with this. Wombat should be fine. You test yours, Wombat, because you're very loud.
I'm not at... Ooh.
There it is.
Wombat was in the back seat of my car for this ride over here. Very loud. He was on the phone. It was also very loud.
I was dealing with a medical emergency.
Test, you want to test it out again?
Test, 1, 2, 3. Got it.
Cool, red.
Thank you.
I like all right, everyone, I want to thank everyone for coming out to the expo tonight, or today. Really appreciate it. We're going to continue our lineup of panels with the first ever live CAG cast. We'd like to welcome Cheapy D, Wombat, and Shipwreck.
Wow. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CAGcast episode number 462. I'm your host, GPD, here from the fabulous Upsky Resort and Casino in beautiful Hap Hog, Long Island. Of course, joined, as always, by a man who's sitting right next to me, Wombat.
Hey!
This doesn't happen very often.
No, this is really exciting. It's great to be here in Hap Hog. You know, if a Hap Hog sees its shadow, we get 6 more miles of Long Island.
Perfect. Did you think of that on the car ride over here?
I actually just thought of that right now.
He's good. He's really good. Of course, Shipwreck is here.
Hello.
Shipwreck came all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio to be here. And thank you for Long Island Retro for bringing Shipwreck
here. Yes, thank you very much.
They made this
happen.
Nice
to be here.
It was a good excuse for you to come and hang out with us.
And hang out in 105 degree, beautiful Long Island weather.
That was really, I really wish we could have helped you out with that. But we can't even play ping pong in the backyard. We can't even go outside. We went to Cradle of Aviation yesterday. Went to the arcade there. You guys been to that arcade age? You must have. No? Wow. So if you got to hurry because it's ending in like the middle of September. But they have about 70 retro arcade games there. And you can – I think you got to pay a little extra with the admission. But they're all on free play and you can play them for an hour and a half. And it was pretty fun. We went there yesterday.
No Q-Bert.
There was like a 10-year-old kid running around there complaining that there was no Q-Bert.
This kid was my hero.
He was like, I can't believe there's no Q-Bert.
How in the world is there no Q-Bert here?
It must be outside. It's like, nope, no Q-Bert. And then he was complaining about the hitboxes in Frogger, which was pretty – and the resolution kept changing. I think he just has a weird dad, and he was just repeating random things that he's heard his dad say over the years. But that's pretty cool. So basically what we're doing here, I think we're doing a regular CAGcast that we're going to record and put out on the podcast feed like we usually do. We'll take some questions from the audience at the end, and there's a little bit of retro injected into the show, more than usual anyway, because this is Long Island Retro.
Is that what this is?
I think it is.
All right. How many people here have listened to the show before?
Woo!
Show of hands. How many people here have never heard our show before? Wow.
More people heard it than not, I think. Maybe.
You guys are in for a treat.
We've been doing this Dopey podcast since 2005. So we're one of the longest running and least successful podcasts out there. I mean, the ratio is not great, but yeah, we've been doing it since 2005, and people do actually listen to it. Maybe we do it just because it's really fun, and we like talking about video games. And we all met actually through my website, which is called Cheap Ass Gamer. These guys were members of the website, and one day Wombat contacted me, and he says, "I think we could make a radio show out of Cheap Ass Gamer." And he worked for Howard Stern's agency, and I'm a big Howard Stern fan. Yeah. You like Howard Stern? So imagine being a big Howard Stern fan and getting an email that ends like at Don Buchwald, which is Howard Stern's agent. So I was like, holy shit. And the guy's telling you he wants to make a radio show with you. So I'm like shitting in my pants, basically. And I get this email, and I email him back with this guy, introduces himself as Stuart. And we have a meeting, and he's a very young guy. So, like, my expectations went, like...
I was young once.
He was... This was, you know, this is 2005, so...
No kids. No wife.
Right. Yeah, wow. So I was... So my expectations got brought back to reality sort of quick. You know, a little bit, but I was in Don Buchwald's office space. And we even recorded a couple of episodes in the studio down there they do for voiceovers. And actually, like, it was going pretty well, and we even made, like, we made a demo tape.
Mm-hmm. It got listened to by some pretty high-up people.
And then when they found out that Wombat was the co-host, that, you know, and he worked for Don Buchwald, you know, they said no. Like, they were interested. They wanted to set up a meeting until they heard that Wombat was involved. And they're like, no, forget it.
That's partially true.
I mean, it's pretty much true, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It was mostly because they don't want to send the message to other employees that...
Something, it was, yeah, weird politics, but yeah.
You know, like, hey, everybody should just start their own radio show.
We were probably a little ahead of our time also.
We were.
Yeah.
Now it's not special. Anybody can
Yeah,
can do
at the
this.
Time it was special.
And Shipwreck, we just met.
I said, hey, let's make a database.
Yeah, Shipwreck. Shipwreck is the biggest retro nerd out of all of us by leaps and bounds. And he's a very active user on Cheap Ass Gamer. And is that how we sort of...
Yeah, we met on Xbox Live.
Right.
Yeah. That came about later. My wife and I did the CAG 4 Play podcast for 2 years, maybe somewhere around there. But, and I was writing reviews for a while before I had a kid, and then that went away. Yeah.
Not just this. Now I just get him for once a week for an hour, which is pretty good. Should we go to the new releases? And then let's do the new releases first for this.
Yeah, we're
going
to try to stick to show format. So those who listen to the show, this is going to be very familiar to you. And those who don't listen to the show, get over it.
So new releases this week. We have Uno. Uno is coming out.
They did it. Holy moly. This is very appropriate for LI Retro.
Right. What took so long?
It's coming out for Xbox, too.
Yeah, it's coming out for Xbox One, for PlayStation 4. Everybody's going to be able to play Uno this time.
Does it have camera capabilities?
I know nothing. I see Uno on the list.
That was like the biggest thing for a while, though. Remember when Uno came out on the 360?
It was the Xbox Live game that you could play with the camera, so it was a big deal.
Lots of wieners.
And people could show their wieners in a tiny little box. That's all you could really get. That's all the video they could stream there, which was good, I guess, if you're showing wieners. So Uno, they did it. What else we got? We got No Man's Sky for the PC came out.
Okay.
It came out on Friday.
I watched you and your son play some of this.
You guys playing No Man's Sky at all? Anybody? Nobody. Somebody. Are you guys turned off by the reviews, or you just wasn't even interested? Not even on your radar?
I got it,
bro. It's bored. Shipwreck watched us play, and he fell asleep. The PC version was broken at launch, but they fixed it. They came out with a patch pretty quickly and fixed it. But the game's still the same, obviously, where you're mining minerals in space. It's basically Minecraft in space without the creativity. You're not really building anything.
That's a great pitch. It's like Minecraft, but without the creativity.
It is, really. They sort of introduced this procedural generation in place of having to really have the user build stuff. You're really just managing inventory and crafting.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of it. It's fun-ish. I like it.
It's fun if you have a kid,
it's
too.
It's fun-ish, yeah. It's a good game you can play with kids in the room, so it gets a bit of a boost for that.
Do you let them steer ever?
Sabrina's been playing a little bit, but okay. My son is probably not quite there yet. But I enjoy it. I like the exploration. I think that, if anything, the real drawback of the game is buying the new equipment at least at this point, seems prohibitively expensive for, you know, with the in-game currency, where the really cool spaceships are like 1 million to 2 million in-game credits. And I've maxed out at like 600,000, and that's after playing for a week.
They do this thing where they don't give you really enough inventory, so you have to struggle in the beginning to sell your wares, and it's just really hard.
The balance isn't quite right. I think there would probably be more of a hook, because the game, you know, you're not getting new armor, you're not getting new weapons per se, that there should be more turnaround and something, more frequent carrots more often, because, you know, carrots are really all we're doing in all of these games. And the carrot system is too spread out. I just got my first ship today, having played the game probably every day since it came out. And that's too long a gap to keep, I think, really someone hooked the way they should be. It should be like a new ship, if not every time you play the game, maybe every other time you play the game, and it's not quite there.
Do your kids freak out when your character starts losing oxygen because you're on a hostile planet?
No, my kids don't pay that much attention.
They don't care? Oh.
No.
And there's a lot of sentries that go, there's a lot of sirens in the game going off, like when you're losing oxygen, too much radiation, the sentries are coming after you. And if you have an 8-year-old sitting next to you, they just freak out. Papa, what are you doing? It's like, it's okay, you've saved it. But the game did crash while we were playing earlier, and we lost.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. It saved Shipwreck from falling asleep, but I lost all my progress. So it was sort of good with bad. What else we got this week in new releases?
That looks like just about it. I mean, we got Wave Race 64 came out on Wii U. We're at the retro Long Island thing. I don't know. Is that exciting to you guys? Wave Race 64.
You guys buy stuff on the eShop, virtual console stuff, or is that like cheating? That's cheating, right? Yeah, Shovel Knight, but not like the old games. Not like the... Yeah. Right, if you can't buy them.
All right, settle down.
I did ask a question.
I know.
So is that it for the new releases?
That's it. It's slow.
It's slow.
Madden's coming out soon.
Sweet. What's that? That's retro.
All the money.
That game series is what, 30 years old now? About? It no, it's not. It's not 90 that old.
90 something,
93. 90, yeah, 25 years old. It's That's old. It is old.
Let's do a few retro-themed CAGBAG questions. We'll just throw them in the middle here. Get some retro talk going. From @crow2k writes in and wants to know from each of us, what's our favorite retro system? One favorite retro system and one game that goes with it. Want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Since I saw these questions in advance and you guys didn't. My parents bought me very strange retro systems. I have the ones that like nobody else had.
You're also older than us.
And I'm also older. So I was in like the late 70s zone. So my dad bought the Telstar Ranger, which had like the three or four different versions of Pong. I mean, it was all Pong, but they would say, oh, it's tennis or hockey or handball. And it all even had a light gun with just, you know, you shot the one white square that bounced along the screen. That was not my favorite console, by the way. I had the Bally Astrocade, which was pretty solid for the time, but it was not as good as the Texas Instruments 99-4A because that thing basically did it all. You could program BASIC into it. The games were really good. It had a lot of expansion to it because it came out with a tape recorder, and then you could have those cassette tape games.
You're so old.
What's that? I'm so old. You didn't get to experience that? I mean, I was like programming BASIC games, typing BASIC games into that thing. No?
I have no idea how the cassettes work.
You had, well... For like a game like Tunnels of Doom or like the text adventure games, Tunnels of Doom was my favorite game, by the way. That's my answer for that question. But you had a cartridge that you would put in, and then you'd have to load up the tape also. So you'd load the cartridge, it would say, okay, now push play on the tape. Then it would take about a half an hour for like that Tunnels of Doom. So you'd go upstairs and do something, and then you'd come back down and be ready, hopefully. If something went wrong, then you have to rewind and do it again.
Sounds like baking a cake.
But it was worth it because you were playing Dungeons and Dragons.
So was a cake.
Well, but it was pretty magical playing basically Dungeons and Dragons in your basement by yourself. And it had it all. Tunnels of Doom had it. Any Tunnels of Doom fans here? No? One. You guys are too young, man. You're making me feel old. One. All right. Beautiful.
You're getting people are leaving talking about Tunnels of Doom.
I said Tunnels of Doom and people are headed for the exit. All right. Someone else pick a console that's not from the early 80s.
I mean, I would probably lean towards maybe the Genesis. I mean, you know, that counts, right? Yeah. I was a big Sega Genesis guy. I for I had a Master System before I had an NES. My parents did not love me. But I actually really liked the Master System. I even had the 3D goggles for that. And playing that, was it the missile defense? I don't even remember what it was called. Was it missile defense? Something. Not missile
early
command.
Early VR, you mean?
Yeah. First VR. But, the Genesis, I remember getting that. I remember the day it came to the house and my brother plugged it into the TV and he was playing Golden Axe. And he got to the part where that level on the back of the eagle. And you get to the front and you see the eagle's giant head. And I remember just looking at that going, that's it. This is as good as video games get. Graphics are never going to surpass this. This is the best looking game of all time. Yeah, and I think Golden Axe on the Genesis was really like, I don't know, just in my brain just clicked as like, this is very important.
They always had great like screenshots on the back of their boxes.
That's true too.
I know I talked my parents into buying some of those. And
that game was so good.
Game was so good.
Golden Axe is a good game.
It was basically Dungeons and Dragons, an action Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and
game.
That's pretty solid. You could play with more than what you had couch co-op. Not that there was online co-op at all at that time, so that was cool. You could kick gnomes, and really, I was getting arrested for that before, but now I could do it at home.
Right. Where were you finding gnomes?
I have my ways.
Yeah. Map Republic. We like to say
exactly. Yeah.
Ship, you have I mean, I don't know if you guys know Shipwreck, but he's hardcore retro. So he's got a crazy basement filled with every console, all hooked up to. I mean, you explain it.
Yeah, SCART's involved. I have, right now, I think I have 21 consoles hooked up to a 10-foot screen. I go through a 1080p projector. Everything's push of a button on a remote. It turns on. It's great.
Frame Meister. Don't forget.
The Frame Meister's in there. I can explain more later, but that's it. Going through the whole flow chart takes a while. mine similar to Wombat. Mine was the Genesis, but I would say it's the Genesis Sega CD combo. I guess I can throw the 32X on the top too, but it's not
literally.
It doesn't have to be there. I don't know. Earthworm Jim, I guess, was my favorite old game. I had the Sega CD version, the normal version, and then, of course, the sequel. Like Wombat, I thought those graphics were excellent. It looked like you were playing a cartoon at that time. The animation was just better than anything I'd seen. The humor was good. The controls were good. I like games that are like...
It was an actual game.
It was an actual game. Like, you had to, like, play your way through it. You had to have skill-based. It changed up the gameplay a lot. There was... like sections where you're like in a bubble going through like vehicle almost sections. So I don't know. Earthworm Jim did it for me.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. All right, here's some other retro questions. From @Scubbish writes and asks, what is the craziest thing you did to get your parents to buy a game? Now I have a good story, and I even brought a visual aid. I got my dad to buy me this Epoch Man, you know, Epoch Man. This was a Pac-Man, a handheld Pac-Man clone. Who made this thing? Epoch. Great. To get this, when I was a young boy and we would go to the local swimming pool, I was too shy and I didn't want to shower in the locker room. I didn't want to get naked in the locker room. And to get me naked in the locker room, this sounds really weird. Somebody walking in right now is going to call the police probably. But to get me naked in the men's locker room, my father
tell us
me,
more about the naked children.
Bought me this great game, and it was totally worth it. And it's funny, this no, say it slower, right? This is like, it's actually like a very retro time in my life right now, because my parents are cleaning out the attic, and every week I get a new delivery at my house of games that they found in the attic. And this week I got all the handheld games. So I had like the Coleco head-to-head games, the Mattel baseball game. This I can't actually get to turn on. I think like the battery's melted in the side. And maybe that's fixable. I don't know.
You're in the right place for that.
Yeah, I figured that's why I brought it with me. I figured somebody could fix it. But yeah, that was the hardest thing that I really ever had to do. It was hard. I was very shy. So I did not want to show my penis to anybody.
I'm so glad that you came out of your shell.
Now I get naked everywhere, so I'm going to get naked in about 10 minutes, actually.
Can't wait.
Beat that story.
I'm pointing at Cincinnati Red over here.
Oh, okay. I don't think I did anything too crazy. Like, my parents, well, it's crazy, but, like, I was kind of weird in that we had the original Atari, the wood paneling one, and I didn't have a Nintendo at that point, but, like, remember, like, right when the Nintendo was out, Atari did the refresh, and they had the Atari 2600 Junior, and I was saving up my allowance to buy this Nintendo, but then we went to the store, and I had $50, and that Atari 2600 was $50.
Under 50 bucks.
Right, right. So
isn't that nice?
I was like, well, this must play my games better than the one I have at home. And so the $50 went there because at the same time I talked my dad into buying me this on-clearance TV that was – it was like a 20-inch TV, but it was like avocado green, the casing on it was. I have no idea, like, why this was on clearance. I mean, who doesn't want an avocado green TV?
That would be trendy now, I feel.
Yeah, it was a great TV. So, I don't know. That was the craziest thing, I think, as far as doing something stupid when I buy a lot of stupid stuff, though.
Right. Now all this, the dumb stories come from when he's in his 30s. All the dumb things that he buys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of something. I mean, most of the games I got as a kid was usually, like, holidays and birthdays. It wasn't, like, anything all that insane.
I'll bet you we could get you to do something crazy right now for a game.
Yeah, probably. What I'm thinking of is I remember there was a school break, and this was back in the Genesis days. And it was, you know, my father had to work during the break, so we weren't going anywhere. So it was basically going to be me sitting in the house for 5 days. So in order to keep me occupied, because it was winter, my parents bought me Sword of Vermillion back on the Genesis, which that came with an instruction booklet that was like this thick. And I remember plowing through that game in 5 days. So, and that's a long game. So that's probably, that was pretty crazy.
But you
right?
kept your clothes on though, right?
No, I don't recall that at all.
Nice. By the way, I have to apologize that we're doing so many questions, but I had a lot of PC problems this week. So we wound up doing our show for this week came out. No, we did two shows.
We had two shows come out this week.
We had a show come out on Monday and
Wednesday, Thursday, Wednesday,
too many
Thursday,
shows.
Friday, happy
really
days.
Too many shows. Right. At the Sherms writes in and asks, what's our favorite retro video game store or arcade? I know. Do you guys remember Multimedia 1.0 in Manhattan in St. Mark's? Remember that? That's gone now, right? It's long gone. That was like a great store that would have stuff like this in there. Basically, it was like LI Retro, but in a store on St. Mark's in the East Village. That was a great place, but the owner was a very bitter guy. And I thought he helped me start Cheap Ass Gamer.
I was saying, have you still talked to him at all?
Yeah, he lives in Vegas now. He got out of the business, but he owned this awesome store. It was basically probably like everybody's dream in this room to have
like
a store.
Me.
He didn't like you?
No.
Eh, he liked you, okay. But imagine owning like a really cool video game store with all this, like, everything. Anything that you could possibly want to sell in the store, but being very bitter. And that was this guy. And I could say, Jesse, how could you be so bitter? You're living the dream here. You're in Manhattan. You got this cool store. He's just like, the people that come in this store are just unbelievable. You can't possibly understand how horrible they are until you work here. He's like, and then he's like, you should work here for a day and just see what it's like. So I did it. And he was right. The people, especially that area, you get a lot of weird people in that area. People who have no intention of buying anything, but they just want to come in and talk to you. So, and some of the people aren't even gamers. They're just like, they just want to come in and they're high or they want to get high or they want to talk. Or there's also the game.
Talk about getting high.
Right. Mm. It's pretty nuts. And then the people that just come in and they just want to find out the release dates for everything. They're not going to buy anything or reserve anything, but they just want to talk to a game store owner and be in the presence of video games and just say, oh, when is this game coming out? When is that game coming out? So I understood why he wound up selling the store and moving to Vegas. It is tough. It's not maybe a dream job.
I didn't think it was.
Right.
I thought Cheap Ass Gamer was
a That is a good
that's,
job.
That's the best job.
Yeah, it is a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
You must have a favorite arcade on Long Island, Wombat, no?
Favorite, I mean, the biggest arcade when I was a kid was probably the video games around, well, there's two. It would be the video games around the carousel at Nunley's. That would probably be my first introduction to games. Especially, I remember being probably 4 years old. And there was just like, and it was a video game, I guess. We put the quarter in, and it was just a marionette clown.
Yep.
And you push the buttons and the that was my entertainment dollar right there, and the other one of course would be Nathan's in Oceanside. would be the arcade that was the did anyone ever go is or are we too far out? And there you go, I got a couple here. Yeah. Yeah, I guess any Nathan's arcade would really count.
Anybody remember the timeout arcade in Penn Station? That was pretty much the greatest arcade ever. But it was, I mean, it was really strange. It, like, they had a lot of money to build that place out, and it was really nice in there. It had a lot of lights, and I think they even hung the machines upside down from the ceiling for a while. They would have just
machines.
How do you
play those?
You don't. It was just for show. It was just because they could. They figured out a way to do it. Like, we're going to hang machines upside down from the ceiling.
Just because you could doesn't mean you should, right?
I know. But you'd also get a lot of shady characters in there, and I remember getting offered stolen watches to buy while playing Time Killers and stuff.
Really? Watches while playing Time Killers?
There's some irony there, right? Right. He pulled out a watch, and he's like, and he pulled out the receipt, too. He's like, I just bought this with a stolen credit card. I'm like, that doesn't make me feel any better. Like, it's like, you have the receipt, great, but, you know. Yeah, so Time Out was pretty much the mecca of arcades here. Oh, this is cool. I want to ask the audience about this too. But here's a question from @BossJBug. He asks, if you had a chance to have a console get the NES Mini treatment, which one you want? Which one would you want? Question I have to you guys is: are you excited about the NES Mini Classic, or is that cheating? No, people are excited about it. Okay. You think it's cheating, don't you?
I don't think it's cheating. I just don't have a reason to have it.
You have all the games. You have it hooked up already.
No, I think it's cool. It's coming out.
We all don't have a magic house full of games.
I don't blame you. But I mean, even though I have a Neo Geo, I think a Neo Geo with 10 games in it would be nice. Just because that's kind of how that console system worked to begin with.
Yeah, the arcade version. Like you choose four games or something like that.
So that would be exciting, I guess. I don't know if I would buy
it. Didn't they make a Neo Geo something, but the emulation was bad? Was that what it was?
Yeah, there was something. But
getting a lot of head nods here, so obviously it must be true.
Well, the cartridges were like the size of this thing.
Well, the original cartridges were awesome. Yeah, that was
cool. You didn't have that?
No.
You have a Neo Geo?
No.
Did you know anybody had a Neo Geo?
I don't know anyone who had it. I just remember seeing it in Funko Land.
Yeah,
that's pretty much my memory.
Just point to it on the shelf and go, oh.
That's cool, because it's big. It must be good. It was gigantic.
Good. I think it was good. I think it was pretty good. Did you pick a console? Oh, you said Neo Geo. Did I pick a console? They made a lot of these things already, actually.
They make a they're coming out with a new Genesis one, though, aren't they?
I mean, I would do Texas Instruments. I would do any of the ones that I was attached to. And because those are really the ones that they haven't made already. They've already made
Intellivision. I can't imagine anyone clamoring for a Texas Instruments retro.
You don't want to play Alpiner? You could build in the speech synthesizer? That thing talked. It would talk to you. Onward and upward, it would say, as you climb the mountain.
Speak and spell, maybe? Take it through. That was made by Texas Instruments.
That's true. I played that too. I would go with Texas. All my answers are Texas Instruments.
Make it say poop.
And here's actually a related question. Tim Utley writes in and asks, if the NES Classic sells well, do you think Nintendo will attempt to replicate that success with handhelds? Can you imagine like a little $50?
Like a Game Boy with 30 Game Boy games in it?
You think people would buy that? I think people would go for that.
Yeah. Alligator Alley?
If it's cheap, you got to be around $30 probably.
No, I think you could sell it for $50.
$50 is okay?
$50, $60. Nintendo will sell that out.
That's at the point if it's like your kid drops it, it's not that big of a deal. Maybe.
These aren't for kids. These are for girls.
No kid is buying the retro Game Boy.
You don't think a kid
could
be entertained by little...
No. What would it have on it though? Let's see. Like Alleyway, I guess, would be on there. Tetris, of course. Super Mario Land. I'm just going to start naming game names. So if you guys fall asleep, that's totally cool. But what else? Alligator Alley, I think I already said that. That would be cool. I like that game.
Right.
Trying to think of other first-party game. Metroid.
They could do it. I think the consensus is they could do it.
Yeah.
And I think this NES thing is going to sell pretty well. I think.
Would it be just Game Boy Black and White or Black and Green? Or were we talking color?
No, you gotta skip to do the color all in one.
Yeah. Get some Legend of Zelda in there, and yeah.
All right,
Game and Watch.
@MikeAnonymous writes in and asks, "Which retro console holds the most nostalgia for you, and which one has the best library of all time?"
I think the 2600 has the most nostalgia for me, just because that's what I started on, and I only had like the 8 games, and I just played like Ms. Pac-Man and Frogger and Kaboom. I had Missile Defense,
Superman.
I didn't have Superman.
Really?
I got it later, but once it went in the toilet and everything was like at the local store for a dollar and a bin, then it was like, yep, give me Journey Escape. Give me anything that you have. All the real sports, I need those.
Right, of course. $1.
I played Journey Escape.
It's a good game.
Not on Atari. It couldn't have been.
No, no. Journey Escape was a great game.
It was?
Yeah.
I won't stop believing you.
Right. You save the whole band. Their agent looks like Kool-Aid Man. It's right. Great. Right.
Thank you, three people who laughed at that joke. I usually don't get that.
It's because we just keep going.
Yep.
Right.
It's usually the dead silence.
What about you, Wombat? Which retro console has the most nostalgia or has the best library?
Probably nostalgia-wise, it may actually be the Sega Master System because that was the first console that was bought for me, solely for me. You know, we had the Atari, but that was like, you know, a family thing. But the Sega Master System was my gift. I think the Genesis, though, probably had the library. If, you know, yeah. I had a lot of Genesis games.
Yeah, Genesis had a pretty...
They were all stolen when I moved after college. I had them through college. And when I was moving out of school back home, somehow all of my Genesis games disappeared when I was loading my car.
Ooh.
Wow. It was like 60 games, 60 Genesis games.
My mom gave away all my Mask toys.
That's, yeah.
That was pretty brutal.
That's pretty brutal.
I was like, what were you thinking? They were awesome. Yeah, I thought this boy would like them.
That's not Decap Attack.
Weren't you like 16 when Mask came out?
I don't know off the top of my head, but they were cool. I was not popular with the ladies. Still not popular.
So you were the guy who would shower with a bathing suit on while talking about toys?
I was that guy until this came along. Nobody wants to be with that guy. I was 19. No. For me, I guess, you know, I have really great memories of playing Intellivision with my friends. A lot of great two-player games with that. Even though I didn't own it, but my friend had it. So I would go to his house and play Intellivision. That had a great library, too. A lot of great sports games. You had Dungeons & Dragons, which, you know, I like a lot. A lot of great games. I don't know if it has the best library, but the controllers.
I think Nintendo has the best library if you were going to actually look at libraries.
Right.
I didn't have one when it was out.
Me neither. Why is that?
Because I had a Sega Genesis.
I guess that's the reason. I had a Genesis. I had a Nintendo 64, so I guess there was that weird gap there where I went from one to the other. I don't know. Mysteries of life, everybody.
Right. Oh, I forgot to mention this Nintendo story. I don't even understand how this can happen legally. So these fans made their own Pokemon game, and it took them 9 years to make it. Can they do that because they don't charge money for it?
No.
So like Nintendo could shut that down at any time.
Yeah,
they could
definitely shut it down if they're calling it Pokemon.
They're calling it Pokemon Uranium. So do you think Nintendo's going to shut that down?
Probably.
9 years of work for these guys.
But they're giving it away for free.
Yeah, it's a PC game.
And it's a PC game. Yeah. So it's Pokemon.
Right. And that one just came out too, right? So they're going to shut this down. It's just a matter of time.
These people need to stop announcing that they're doing these things.
Or call it something else. Just make it a little different. I mean, the problem is these companies, they really have to go after them. Because if you don't, you lose your rights to that property, basically. Somebody in the future can say, oh, you let Pokemon Uranium go by. And then a judge can say, well, you're not protecting your trademark, your copyright. And you can lose it that way. So they kind of have to be a dick that way.
So download that now if you want to play it.
Right, before they have to change all the sprites and call it something else.
Or just change the name, I was going to say. You could just change. If it's a good game, just, you know.
It looked like a...
Doki Man.
Right. All right, let's do a few more CAGBAG questions, and maybe we could take questions from the audience, too.
Yeah, he has a mic right there.
I know.
He's all set.
These guys are prepared. More prepared than we are.
Do you guys have questions, by the way? Just might as well get that out of the way. Just make sure. Wow, a whole bunch of nobodies. Good work, crowd.
Sippy Cups writes in and said he was back listening to CADcast 100 back in 2007. And he said in response to whether the Wii shortages at the time were intentional by Nintendo, Cheapy said it really doesn't make a lot of business sense to withhold production intentionally for the purpose of creating hype. But with the advent of products like Amiibo, is this still your current belief present day, or has your stance changed, and do Wombat and Shipwreck believe differently? Well, 2007 was a different time when you're making consoles. Back then, you could only really squeeze out a couple hundred thousand, like for the first few months. So they weren't, I don't think they were intentionally making a shortage. That was really how many you could make in 2007. These days, you can crank them out big time. So when you notice when like Xbox One and PS4 came out, people were buying them and they didn't run out. It's because they could crank out like, I mean, how many were they making in the first month? They were making like a million, a half a million. It was a lot more. They don't have any problem making this stuff anymore. With the Amiibos, they don't want to pull a Skylanders.
Disney Infinity.
You know, Disney Infinity.
They made 5 million Hulks.
They made too many figures, and that game is dead now. Nintendo was being conservative, and they went in the other direction.
They still made too many Animal Crossing figures.
You still see a lot of those. So it's hard to really predict how many of these, especially when you're making a lot of different figures. It's hard to really know how many to make, and apparently it takes a bit of time to change your production. So if you want to ramp up or slow down, there's like a time frame there that has to pass or something. I don't know. Somebody who knows this stuff explained it to us once. And
I thought that was you.
Well,
we have a whiteboard. Do you want to do like a whole supply?
That's the end
we
of my
sell
knowledge.
Widgets.
Right. No. So that's my explanation. You guys agree or disagree?
No, that makes sense to me. I don't think Nintendo was intentionally not making money.
Yeah, you can't do that in this day and age. You gotta get that money while you can. All right, some questions from the audience? Be great.
Just stand up.
Alex is first.
What is your favorite boss fight in a retro game?
I gotta go with Castlevania. Dracula at the end of Castlevania.
The first one?
I finished that game. I remember finishing it, and that... Well, I don't know. Mother Brain 2. I don't know. I think Castlevania was more of an achievement, I feel, at the time. I feel I was more psyched. But also Ghosts and Goblins. Some big achievements. I don't know. I haven't gone back to look at these games in a long time. So it's only what my like 8-year-old self remembers, which isn't...
You were 8 years old in like 1977, so I don't think you were playing Metroid.
No. I was 8-year-old in 1981. Do you have a favorite boss battle?
You know, it's funny because the ones that always stick out in my brain are either the ones that were crazy annoying. Like, I remember Spider-Man for the Genesis, where it wasn't so much that you had to fight the boss at the end as that it was also timed with the bombs. So even if you killed the boss, you could still die and that was it. And that sucked.
Do you like that?
No, not even a little.
That's your least favorite.
But that's what kind of just sticks. When you say it, that's what comes back to me. Like, I don't know, abuse. I'm trying to think of like games I've finished. Like, I remember finishing Golden Axe and fighting Death Adder for the first time and being like, I could fight this guy. Or even the end of, you know, Super Mario, where you really just, that's like a one hit. You just got to get to the other side of the bridge and step on the switch. I'm like, that's cool.
Let's do that 8 times.
Yeah.
Chip, you have a favorite?
I was going to say Castlevania, but you stole that one.
Yes.
I still really like the Sephiroth battle in Final Fantasy VII. I probably, like, from my save point at the end of that game, I would, like, have my friends over or my relatives and, like, load up my save and then, like, go, hey, we're going to go fight Sephiroth. And, like, a half hour later, right. it was all ready to go. But, yeah, I don't know. Castlevania was great, though.
Yeah, you felt like you really achieved something. I also remember, like, Final Fantasy X, the boss battle, was pretty bad. Sin, that's when I realized my guy wasn't ground enough, and I had to go buy a Game Genie or something. Game Shark, what was it? I don't know. After 50 hours of the game, my guy was not even close to putting a dent in the boss. And
now I just want to pander to the audience and say Final Fantasy VII a few times.
Yeah, do that.
Remember when that chick died? That was crazy, yo.
You cried, right?
Final Fantasy VII.
Right, so this is actually sort of the opposite of this gentleman's question. Like, what game have you played that you were really, really excited about playing, and you finish it, and the ending was like, are you kidding me? That's it?
Oh, Mass Effect.
Is it Mass Effect 3? Just like, I guess that's the thing for that, right?
Well, that's what we remember. I mean... The thing about that one, what made it really bad, was that it was the end of a trilogy, right?
And so the game itself is really good.
And all the games are good.
Yeah.
And so just a finish and sort of a downer after going through three games, that's disappointment right there.
Can you guys beat that one? I mean,
maybe.
Off the top of my head, no. It's so glaring that
you know what games have really.
Oh, PsyOps. PsyOps, because it leads right into
Nobody
the next game. PsyOps was great. Who played PsyOps? Look at that.
I did.
Everybody in the audience rose their hand.
What was the other one? The other game that came out at that time that was like the same concept, but not that game.
That not PsyOps?
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Second Sight. That game was better. Second Sight was awesome. That was by the Time Splitter guys. See?
13 also had that same problem too, where it just ended on a cliffhanger.
And there was never another one?
Right, never another game.
That's pretty sad. You know, I find that most of the Halo storylines, the ending, I honestly don't rarely remember what happened at the end.
I don't never understand any of the story in any of the Halo games.
Yeah, it's like, he's frozen, I guess. No, he's dead. No, he's not dead. He's just frozen. Well, which is it? Well, they'll make another one, and there he is. So I guess he was frozen.
Another question? Yeah, it's not so much a question as a comment. I haven't even played games in like 5 years since I found your podcast because I can live vicariously through you guys and still talk to my friends and sound like I know everything.
Wow.
So I appreciate that because it's like all his free time now.
Do they actually think you know stuff or do they think you don't? They do. Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, Bill's going to talk about games again. Bill's an idiot.
How old do you think a system has to be before it's considered retro? Like, would you consider the PS2 retro at this point?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, PS2. Yeah, PS3 is getting close there. We were talking
about this over pancakes this morning.
Yeah, that's funny. We were wondering if the Xbox was the original Xbox.
Original Xbox is retro.
That's totally, Halo 1, Combat Evolved. Yeah, that's a retro game.
It's got good weight to it, too, that original Xbox.
Crimson Skies, that would be retro. That game was badass.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
You've often spoke about your spouses watching you play a game. Was there like a particular game that got them into that? Where like maybe before they would never want to bother, and then after that they were cool with sitting on the couch?
I feel like all our wives were gamers before us. Is that true?
I don't know if I would.
Mine was.
I wouldn't necessarily consider my wife a gamer per se, but she never found it boring or something that she didn't want to do. I mean, now, actually, it's funny because No Man's Sky is like a really good, although now there's so much technology. My wife is on this mission herself in life to watch all 7 seasons of Gilmore Girls before the new episodes come out. And she's only on season 2, and she's been doing this pretty hardcore for like 2 weeks now. But now I'll play No Man's Sky, and she'll just sit on the couch with an iPad and watch her Gilmore Girls. We've never been closer as a couple.
Right. No, my wife was a gamer before we met, and she would play PC games. She would play like Fallout and Planetscape Torment. She told me, she even admitted to me that she would cheat at those games. She would download like the hex editor. I don't even know how they cheat it, but you could level up your guy with some other program. But she actually, when we were dating, she told me that she really enjoyed watching me play games because she didn't have to use her brain at all. So she comes home from work and she just wants to shut down. Sometimes TV could be a little complicated if you want to follow along, but if you're playing Onimusha, you're just slicing people up. It's pretty straightforward. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, my wife was like that with Dynasty Warriors, the Dynasty Warriors 2. That was like that same idea. Like she would just watch me play and slice through about 300 people and just zone out.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife plays a lot of games, so.
She's good.
Yeah. But she's not like your sheepy. Like, she won't sit there and watch me play many games.
No.
Like, Uncharted 4, she'd watch that because it's basically a movie.
My wife prefers watching over playing, but she will play that new Pac-Man 256 on Xbox. We play that co-op. It's pretty fun. And we played with Shipwreck. Shipwreck is a Pac-Man god, by the way. We watched him play last night. It was pretty
impressive. How did he, like, get a high score that's, you know, that's not to be embarrassed about under your name?
He beat my high score, yeah.
Nice.
That's good.
That's what Shipwreck's good for. You just bring him over to your house, let him get the high score using your username, and everyone will think you're really good at games.
Yeah, he couldn't do too well. I had him, you know,
it's plausible deniability, yeah.
Just enough to beat a few people.
I could totally get 400,000 points. Sure, my next score is 12, but you know.
Any other questions back there? Okay.
Hi. Just curious about like favorite retro arcade games, like cabinet arcade games.
Well, we just went to that awesome arcade exhibit yesterday. You have one off the top. I mean, there's a lot. I like Spy Hunter a lot. And it was very emotional yesterday. My son told me the Star Wars, you know, the vector graphics game used to be his favorite game, but now it's Spy Hunter. And he played nonstop Spy Hunter yesterday. We went to that arcade exhibit that we were basically, it was us and that kid who was running around complaining about Frogger and Qbert. Spy Hunter's pretty awesome. You have a favorite cabinet?
The games that I used to play the most were the Star Wars vector graphics. Star Wars is, you know, just, it had the voices, like your Texas Instruments nonsense.
Yep, that's not nonsense. That's important.
That was pretty cool. And the Force will be with you, always. Too fast, sort of broken. I kind of liked it.
Right. It was close enough.
Yeah. Elevator Action, I used to play the crap out of. I love that game. I love the music in that game. I still hum it for no reason a lot.
It's a good song.
It is. That's.
Don't get me started.
I know. That's a good one. And the other one, Popeye, the Nintendo Popeye. I really like that game. And
I played that yesterday.
See?
I have it there.
That game is sort of good. Everything about that now, too, like in hindsight, that Donkey Kong was supposed to be a Popeye game, all that stuff. It's so crazy how that all went down and how one little change can make Popeye completely irrelevant in 2016. And Mario is still a huge thing. Yeah. King Feature Syndicate said no to that deal must be kicking themselves. Because we could all be playing Super Popeye Brothers to this day.
It could. I mean, Popeye's was pretty popular. Yeah. He's been around for a long time. He's popular in other countries. It could have happened.
It definitely could have. They were supposed to come out with a movie. I feel like Alex probably knows all about this too. The Jendy Tartovsky movie. And they did some test footage. You can watch it on YouTube. And it looks amazing. And I guess Popeye, they just stopped making it because I guess Popeye just isn't popular anymore. Poor Popeye, really. But, what can you do? So Popeye.
Good question. Good answer.
Popeye's a good answer. I have a Donkey Kong cabinet in my house, so Donkey Kong's really high on my list.
Everyone here hates you.
Whatever. I have a Millipede cabinet as well at my house, a cocktail table. That's not very high on my list. I just happen to come by it. I think Spy Hunter's a good one. I played a lot of Spy Hunter. For some reason, Bad Dudes, it's a really big one for me because it was in. We have. So Cincinnati has these restaurants, on every corner that are chili restaurants.
Starbucks here, basically.
Right, it's like Starbucks here. We have our Cincinnati chili. And the closest one to my house, which was in walking distance, they had a Bad Dudes machine. So I played a ton of Bad Dudes.
Yeah. I mean, we all had, we had the tobacco store that had the arcade games. We would just go play Ikari Warriors and...
I worked at the video store. I was the clerk at the video store in my town where we had two games in the back. And we had, for the longest time, we had NARC and Funhouse Pinball. And that got switched out to Street Fighter II and, what was the pinball game? I want to say maybe Twilight Zone. Yeah, because I could still hear the Golden Earring song in my head. When the bullet hits the bone. It just would play just that one line on repeat.
Nice.
If no one was playing it, and I would be in there for 8 hours. So whenever I hear that, I start to sweat and cry.
To be truthful, we could answer this question 50 different ways.
Yeah. But
I spent a lot of time in arcades.
I did, but I had the key to the machine. So I remember playing NARC all the way through. Yeah, because whenever I would die, I would just take a quarter out and continue.
Yeah.
So I did complete.
I did too.
NARC in the arcade. So that's a
dumpster
that's
man, right?
Yeah.
On PCP, he's high on PCP. He could throw dumpsters at you. Now you know.
And that game is weird. That is a weird game in hindsight, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Got another question?
Throwing needles at you.
Hey, what kind of retro games do your children really like to play or watch you guys play?
My daughter really likes Pac-Man.
I say mine too.
Yeah, she has Pac-Man books. She knows all the Pac-Man ghosts. She has Pac-Man pajamas, which I have no idea why they make Pac-Man stuff for toddlers still.
For people like you who are going to spend the money to buy them for their kids.
Because parents want to dress their kids up the way they want them to look, exactly. Not the way their kids want to look. Because
they don't know what they want.
Kids don't get opinions. They're not allowed. My daughter really, I mean, she doesn't play that many retro games. She really loves Minecraft. She's one of those.
Yeah.
She's one of those Minecraft kids. But the stuff she builds in Minecraft blows my mind. So I guess it's all relative.
It's pretty retro. I mean, it's got that retro look to it.
It does, yeah, but, you know, the gameplay itself isn't
pretty advanced.
Is pretty advanced.
There's a lot going on there.
Wow.
I would say Ty doesn't play a lot of retro games. I did hook up the Telstar Ranger, so I got him to play a few games of Pong, but he was not, I was too good at it for him, so he was pretty turned off. But he's playing Overwatch now. He's really into Overwatch and Minecraft, yeah. Any other questions?
Hey, how you guys doing? What was your most anticipated video game sequel that never released? Not named Half-Life 3.
Never released.
Second Sight 2. The Sightiest? No. No. Did they ever announce Time Splitters? Was it 3, I guess it would have been? Yeah. Yeah, they did announce a sequel to Time Splitters that never came out, and I would have wanted that. That was pretty cool. I liked that game a lot. It had monkeys in it. You could shoot monkeys.
That's a tough question.
That last time they announced Prey, that game looked really great, and it never came out.
Oh, yeah.
Prey 2.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, but that's, other than the ones that I already talked about, 13 and PsyOps.
You were a bounty hunter in that one, right? Like a space bounty hunter?
Yeah, you were like Boba Fett.
Yeah.
That's another game, that Star Wars, was it 1313 or whatever it was?
Something like that, yeah.
That game actually, you know, that was supposed to be a Boba Fett game. That was like the worst kept secret, right?
No, they showed it in E3.
But they never said you play as Boba Fett.
Well, now you play as nobody.
Now you play as no one. That game didn't come out. That game looked pretty cool.
I'm stealing one of these answers. I don't know. I don't have one.
Hi, guys. Hey. First time listener, first time questioner.
Great.
How important do you think it is for like today's youth to be exposed to these kind of retro games that kind of we grew up on and, you know, that started the industry, you know, to kind of see where we came from and where we're going?
I think it's pretty important, you know, to do that with everything, not just games. You know, you can do it with games, certainly, and say, look what we were playing when I was your age. And it's usually interesting. To my kid, he finds that interesting. But that works with anything, like, you know, cars, any piece of technology. I think it's interesting to look back and be familiar with what people had to make do with back in the day.
Yeah, my kids have to churn their own butter. It's the only way they'll learn.
Right. I think it's – I like – you know, but the key is getting their attention because it may not be enough to hold their attention. Pong certainly is not enough to hold attention.
But when they do a good job of, you know, I guess retrofitting a game, I made that term up, retro-fitting.
Right.
I'm being clever.
So clever.
Like a Pac-Man 256 will get, like, my daughter loves that game, and it got her interested in Pac-Man because they did a good job of, you know, shoehorning that in. You know, even in a broader sense, like, she loves Animal Crossing on the 3DS. And Animal Crossing on the 3DS got her interested in Nintendo games, generally speaking, because I had all these games on the 3DS already. And she's like, so she would say, what's this game that's already on this thing that she's already holding? And then she's playing Excitebike because it was on there. So, yeah, there you go.
I think a big part of it, too, is just like it's easier to get kids to like play with those games because you can sit down and I can explain to my 2-year-old daughter what a jump button is or what a shoot button is. Not real guns, just laser beams, that
it
type
helps
of stuff.
When there's only two buttons.
Right, with only two buttons and a D-pad or whatever, she can at least mess around with it. I think that's a big part of getting them into gaming.
And it's really more fun for the parent, like, you know, to get your kids, turn your kids on to what turned you on. Right. That's guaranteed to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's going to be soon for me.
Probably very soon for you.
Yeah.
Back in the day when the arcades were in their glory days and you get to walk into that wall of sound,
yeah.
Did you ever have an iconic game soundtrack that always pops in your head? Like for me, it was Rolling Thunder. Like there's this one arcade that I always used to go into and I could hear it. It just stuck out above anything else. Did you guys have that experience? And like what theme stuck with you?
I mean, when I would make like specialized trips to the arcade to play a specific game, it was Street Fighter II, because that game was so popular when I was in high school. That's when you put the quarter on the ledge and So we would go at lunchtime at high school, we would drive to Nathan's and we would play Street Fighter. Most of the other times, it's just that wall of noise, like you said. And usually you can't, I couldn't pick out one game from another. But we were pretty laser focused on Street Fighter in those days. And we were just head right for that machine.
I could hear a lot of, like, I could hear Mortal Kombat 2, just the call outs, you know, fight. Because even when no one was playing that game, it would go into the demo mode and be, fight.
Voices, yeah. Voices were good.
Yeah. So that would always cut through, I think.
Yeah, I think the X-Men game did that a lot too. You could hear Colossus, like, wherever you were at in the arcade. Yeah, I think Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter are the really obvious ones because that's what you were going to play.
Yeah.
Yep. And I just remember the screens, the Nancy Reagan telling us not to do drug screens on every... Yeah. Worked out well.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I got a question. Yeah. Are any of your parents gamers? Because I'm here with my son, and I'm a hardcore gamer and my wife. You know, I had the 2600 as my first purchased game and before my children were born. But now my son and I are, like, right, really close. And he has to beat all my bosses, though. I'm a little older now, and I just don't have the dexterity as I did. And
your hands probably hurt a lot. My hands hurt a lot.
Oh, absolutely. I get it in the elbow. I had to stop playing one sort of game, and he would suggest which game is okay, which one's the buttons or the...
Sure.
You know.
It's a real problem, actually. Like, when you get older, and if you've been I've been playing games since I was, you know, 3 or 4, and when I play, especially like the retro systems...
What game was out in 1954?
I'm only 4 years older than you, my friend.
Hey, I was born a year before that.
My dad was like a very early adopter of technology. So when he saw like, oh, you could buy Pong for your house, he would get it. And I don't know necessarily that he was like super into playing the games, but he liked the idea, I think, of having like the coolest, latest technology. So when they came out with the first like the PC, the clone PCs that you didn't have to buy the really expensive ones, you could buy the Korean ones, he bought those like right away. So we always had a lot of that stuff first, but I would play a little bit with him, but he wasn't good and he wasn't really that interested, which is weird. And now he doesn't, and even today, he'll go and he'll buy, like he bought an Xbox One or he bought a PlayStation 4 and he'll buy games for it, but he won't play it. He'll buy it like, oh, when like my, you know, when my son comes over, maybe he'll play, or maybe I'll play when he comes over. It's weird. He likes to have it around, but he's not actively really playing them. I don't know. Strange.
Oh, that's it. My father had the 2600. That was his, like, a big gift for him. I want to say it was like his 30th birthday present or something like that. It was the Atari 2600. And everyone in the entire family had to chip in and buy it because it was prohibitively expensive at the time when that thing came out. So that was the big video game
play
thing.
Though? Did they play the games?
Yeah. He played. He loved combat. And we used to all play together. I remember probably being like 3 or 4 years old and playing combat.
But did you get too good too quickly and then they just tapped out, basically?
I think
that's what happened to me now that I remember.
Yeah, and my father also really liked Joe Montana Sports Talk Football. That was a big one for him. And Mutant League Football. We used to play together a lot. Mutant League Football was a big one for us. So that's that. Now we play, both of my parents now are really into, you know, iPhone games. All the Match 3 stuff. All, you know, my mother told me I was wasting my life on video games all this time, and now she plays probably more than I do because of Tsum Tsums. So who's the captain now?
Right. What about you, Ship? Your parents gamers?
No, it's pretty much the same story as what Wombat was. My dad had a 2600, but that quickly became mine.
Yeah. And once you got too good.
And once I got too good, neither one of us enjoyed playing with each other. Then
right,
it was
yeah.
like, I think that's where the green TV came from, actually. It was because he had his TV and the Atari went from his TV over to my green TV in a different corner of the room.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, that's what just happens. Your kids get too good and it happens pretty quickly, probably by the age of 10, maybe.
You think so?
I don't know.
I guess we'll find out in about 3 years.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. Although then again, whatever my daughter does in Minecraft, it just, I have no idea. She's like, look at this. And it looks like a box. And then she shows me and then it goes down like 80 levels and it has all this machinery in it. And it, all it does is change things to different colors when you throw in. Look, I throw in this red box, comes out blue. I'm like, all right. How long did that take you to make? About 7 hours.
Yeah. Well, I've watched those things get built. Yeah, it's pretty slow. Another question back there?
Hi, this is not necessarily a retro gamer question, okay, but more of an origin question.
Yeah.
Like, I get the CPD name, but how about Wombat and Shipwreck? And then the other question was, like, you left and went to Japan, and now you're back. I mean, what's the...
Well, let's do the names first. Wombat, where did Wombat come from?
It's a college nickname. I was, my freshman year of college, I was sitting in a dorm room with a bunch of friends, and it was a long day, probably a long night. And for some reason, we were watching the National Geographic Channel. It may have been the only channel that came through on the TV. And there was a special on, and the narrator starts coming, goes on the TV and goes, "Wombats are short, stubby, furry creatures that like to sleep all day and eat the entire night long." And everyone in the room turned and looked at me and once goes, "You're a wombat." There you go.
That's pretty good.
I am a really big fan of G.I. Joe. And so there's a character in G.I. Joe named Shipwreck that is kind of the weird character.
You look like him now.
I know. That's why I grew the beard. So I didn't have to get insulted by my college roommates to get my...
Right.
It's the guy with the white sailor hat.
With the Jack Nicholson
the
voice.
Sailor.
Halloween like costume this year, my friend.
You look too much like a village person if you do that.
Oh, yeah.
That well,
that
is almost
What's
better.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Come on.
You could have your wife be a cop. Your daughter could be the Indian. It'd be awesome.
The second part of his question was, why did you move to Japan and come back?
Oh, well, my wife is Japanese, and we met in New York, and she got a really good job opportunity in Tokyo. And because I was doing cheap-ass gamer, I was able to do it from anywhere. And then we decided to come back, basically. We were there for 9 years, which is a really long time. And, you know, I'm not a Japanese person, and I have family here.
You're
and
not?
My parents would like to see their grandson, you know, more than once a year. So that's why we came back. And we're here on Long Island now. So, woo!
Rockin' and Hop Hog.
Hey, guys. Today I ran into some of the more risque Atari 2600 games for the first time, like Custer's Revenge and Beat 'em and Eat 'em.
Yep.
I was wondering, do you guys ever run into those as a kid, like maybe finding them in your parents' room or like... Wombat, did you find him like in like the video rental store? Kind of like Shipwreck's daughter is going to be with, you know, the Beach Babes volleyball.
We had a lot of porn in the video store, but no Custer's Revenge. Yeah. Just lots of porn. And it was a small local video store. There were not many secrets in that town that I didn't know. People are into some weird stuff.
I know in the 2600, I'd had Porky's growing up. Which the screen for that is just a woman in the shower in the middle of the screen, and you're like pushing around a turkey or something. I have no idea what you're doing in this game because I got it at a yard sale, I got it home, and you're just going around a map, and the large lady from the movie is chasing you.
Right.
Have you ever played this?
No.
Okay.
I played a different one. Which
I've seen the movie.
Right. Was there a turkey? I don't remember.
I don't recall a turkey. I remember them putting soap on the tongue. And some guy sticks his wiener through the hole, and Ball Bricker goes and tries to yank him by it. That was
I
really funny.
To watch
How come
movie?
No one watches that movie anymore?
I gotta watch it. My friend had a Commodore 64, and he got Sex Games, which was, I think that was the thing that existed, right?
The name of the game?
It was called Sex Games, and I think it was like, because there was like an Olympic game for Commodore 64.
There was California Games, wasn't there? Summer
there
Games.
There was all that stuff, and I think there was a sex game thing, and we got it somehow. I don't know how on a tape.
I don't know. Don't look at me.
It was the same game, right? But just without any clothes on.
I can't remember. But I know we had something naughty that we closed the door and loaded it up on cassette or something. Anything else? Anyone else? Oh.
Do you guys ever get recognized on the street since you're such celebrities?
You know, I was at Wombat's house for 4th of July in Massapequa, and we were out front. We were waiting. I guess we were waiting for the... I was putting something in my car, and somebody did a drive-by on Wombat. Just, "Hey, Wombat!" Just kept going. It's pretty impressive. And now he knows where you live, too.
Yeah.
So it does happen. It doesn't happen that much. Shipwreck could happen to a lot, actually.
Yeah, it happens to me a decent amount. I don't know, just because I'm in a smaller city, I guess. But if I go into a GameStop, people might recognize me. If I'm in a game like location, like around games, people tend to pick me out.
Yeah. People are nice.
It's odd because I never know, like, since we have these stupid handles that we go by.
Right.
Like, when somebody comes up to you in real life and is like talking to you and like, oh, you're Shipwreck. I'm like, yeah. Like,
not too loud.
No, it's always an odd introduction when it's not like your real name in these situations.
I don't mind anymore.
Well,
I'm
you're pretty much,
I think more people probably call you GPD than. Yeah. Not at this
pretty
point.
Pretty much.
Yeah. The regional manager for Target by me is a show listener. And first time I met him, he was just working. He was a register guy. Then he became a customer service guy. And now he's the regional manager guy. So it's pretty funny.
The person to know.
Yeah.
Hook up.
And it's nice. It's like, oh, you've been listening to my show. I know who you are. And now I'm watching you evolve in your life in addition to you continuing to listen to the show. I saw him just the other day at my Target. And I'm like, what are you doing here? You're important now.
Is he coming to Thanksgiving this year?
Probably. You see that a lot with some of our show listeners. People that, you know, that's the crazy thing when you've done a show for a decade. Is like people that were in high school when you started the show are now adults.
They have jobs.
Yeah,
that's pretty scary.
Yeah. People that were interns at video game companies are now vice presidents and craziness. Things change.
Anyone else? Good, because it's 1:30.
Wow. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. It was great. If you want to, you know, the show's on iTunes. If you want to check it out, it's called The CADcast. Oh, there's my son in the back waving. Hey, Ty. You can follow us on Twitter, at GBD, at New Wombat, at Shipwreck, and at Video Game Deals. And thanks for coming, everybody.
Bread's done. Hey, let me take a picture of everyone. Don't go anywhere just yet. Yeah, creeps. All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Game, it's Epoch Man. Licensed by Midway and Coleco. Now he can play at home or anywhere else. Epoch Man is not just a game. It's a digital clock with a musical alarm, a day and date calendar, a stopwatch. So look for Epoch Man, arcade action that fits in your pocket from Epoch.